I'm with you there. When you look at the San Francisco 49ers and think about what Kittle's been able to do as a tight end machine making his first Pro Bowl, what is Fangio going to do to shut him down?
That's a great question. First of all, they're going to come after Mullins and try to make sure that, he can't get the ball out quick. But, you know, you look across, I don't know if it'll be a safety. My guess is, you're not going to see Eddie Jackson, which is, a blow to this defense and probably a boost to the Niner offense. But they have the speed at the linebacker position. Roquan Smith is an amazing player at such a young age, going side to side, has good cover skills. But there's no question. I mean, as you guys know, it starts up front that they were going to try to, they're going to pressure the quarterback, try to make that ball come out quick and make sure that, you know, he can't get in the seams, that Kittle can't get in the seams and make big plays. So, my guess is, Vic's coming after the young quarterback and try to confuse him a little bit and take Kittle out of the game a little bit in an, unorthodox way.
How much has Khalil Mack gone from being just a great player to join Chicago to being a true icon of the city?
It's crazy, guys. I mean, he has done so many great things here, and he's such a good guy as well. I mean, not just an elite player, but, you know, he's not just rushing the passer. He's making plays in the run game. He's a tireless worker. He's a leader of this team. I think the whole trajectory of this season, we thought this was a good defense with Vic in charge, and they were top 10 in a lot of the stats last year, but they weren't elite. You bring Khalil Mack into this defensive meeting room, and everything changes. And look, they had four Pro Bowlers announced, and we all know Pro Bowls are, you know, maybe not as important as all pro selections, but listen, you go to a Pro Bowl, you're a hell of a player, and they get four guys on this defense that are headed to the Pro Bowl, and Khalil Mack makes Keem Hicks better, and Keem Hicks makes Leonard Floyd better, and that secondary can sit on routes and jump throws, and Kyle Fuller and Eddie Jackson and Prince Amukamara, they all benefit from what Khalil Mack has done individually, and then the domino effect of having him in that front seven. Just, it's been fun to watch, guys. It really has.
Wow. I'm going to stay right there. You know, when you're watching Khalil, so who won? You know, we don't understand it. You know, Raider fans are kind of disappointed. You know, they got the two draft picks. It's going to be interesting to see what the Raiders do. But thus far, Khalil Mack, you talked about him as a player, but what is he in that community? Do you see this guy as a pillar in the community? You see a guy that you say, wow, what a team player. Is it far more than just football?
Yeah, he's everything you'd want and then some. You know, it's early. Obviously, you still want to get the same level of production on the field that we've gotten so far. They gave him tens of millions of dollars, and rightfully so. But now he hasn't shied away from being kind of the face of that defense or the leader on the field and off. I mean, he's been so much more than you could have ever hoped for in so many different ways. Ryan Pace, he's probably going to be your executive of the year just for that deal alone, not to mention the hiring of Matt Nagy and some of the other free agents they added in the offseason. But Khalil Mack, the addition, changed the face of the entire 2018 season here in Chicago.
Tom Waddle, former Bears wide receiver, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Looking back to the trade in 2017 between the Bears and the Niners in the draft, the Bears moved up from 3 to 2. They used that pick to draft Mitchell Trubisky, the current franchise quarterback. In exchange, the Niners ended up with the 3rd pick, which they used on Solomon Thomas, the 67th pick in the 3rd round, which was Akello Witherspoon, who's out for the season, the 111th pick in the 4th round, which they traded to Seattle to use as ammunition to move up and get Reuben Foster, who they've gone ahead and released. And then this year they had the Bears' 3rd round pick, which they used on linebacker Fred Warner. Going back and looking at that trade, do you still like what the Bears did? I don't even know if you liked it to begin with. I should start there. Do you like what they did then? What's the sentiment on it now?
Well, truthfully, guys, there was a degree of, you know, a certain percentage of people in this town that panned it. They thought that Lynch basically fleeced Ryan Pace in this deal because the thought was no one was going to pick Mitchell Trubisky that early. I'll say this. I was on the other side of that discussion. Ryan Pace decided Mitchell Trubisky was his guy. At that point, I don't think there's too high a price to pay for the guy that you are willing to tie your own career to. So I didn't have a problem with the deal that they made. And I may be in the minority with that decision. Now, whether or not Mitchell turns out to be the player that they thought he would be or worthy of the second-round pick, which is or the second overall pick, which is a subjective, you know, kind of discussion as well, we're still learning. But I don't think there's any regret at all in that building. Matt Nagy has developed a great relationship with the young quarterback. Who he ends up being, it's still the story still being told and the book still being written. But I don't think there is any, there's no regrets at all here in Chicago for that deal, at least not at the Bears facility.
Are they starting to loosen the reins a little bit on Trubisky and allow him to make more throws down the field? Because every time I see Chicago, it seems like a lot of runs and a lot of passes to Trey Burton.
Well, it's kind of gone up and down. And I've always been one who thought, regardless of who your quarterback is, unless he's Brady, Rodgers, or Breeze, you're going to ride the roller coaster with them. I think there have been times when they've asked a lot of the quarterback and maybe things got away from him. His accuracy or his lack of consistent being consistently accurate, I think, is the biggest flaw that people acknowledge here in Chicago. And when those moments come, like prior to the Packer game where he played a very clean, very efficient game where they weren't asked to push the ball downfield much, they just took what the Packers were willing to give them. And he had high completion rate, one read, ball comes out, and things worked, functions pretty efficient. That's on the back of how he played against the Rams. And that was on the back of how he played against the Vikings. So the two games he had played, and he missed two because of the shoulder injury in between those, but the two games he had played prior to this past Sunday's game, he wasn't good. So I think what we saw from Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky was intentional against the Packers. And we're going to try to build some rhythm with some quick throws, and we're not going to ask too much. But there are games when things, guys, that are going – when they're going well, I think Matt takes more chances with his young quarterback. And when things aren't going well, they know that with this defense, take care of the football. As long as the quarterback isn't the reason why you're losing games, they feel good about their chances every Sunday.
6-year NFL veteran wide receiver with the Chicago Bears. You can check him out now as the co-host of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. The great Tom Waddle with us here on 95.7 The Game. Tom, we appreciate the time this morning. Thank you very much. Enjoy the game this weekend, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thanks, guys. Same to you. Have a great day.
A lot of people who didn't watch Waddle play during his career back in the 90s, he was one of the toughest SOBs to go across the middle the game's ever seen. He and, at the same time, Wayne Krabet from the New York Jets. I remember those two just getting lit up, but they would not drop the football. And those are two towns where a wide receiver like that will always be beloved. Always.
No question. Hofstra University, Wayne Krabet. I mean, this guy came in league and just took over. I mean, he was more dominant than Keyshawn, who was the first, top five picks in the draft. He came over and it was just like, Keyshawn who? And Keyshawn didn't know.
Oh, were you in New York with the Jets when that happened?
Yeah. So, and Wayne's a great guy, great person. He and I, we still buds. And just to watch him take that town over, and just like you said, Joe, fearless.
If you think you're having a bad day, or you think maybe DeForest Buckner's having a bad day because he got snubbed for the Pro Bowl, wait until you hear how much money a certain individual lost on his Pro Bowl stub. It will blow your mind. That plus a full rundown on everything you need to know about this weekend's Niners-Bears game coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
The Warriors made it look easy against the Grizzlies.
Curry to McCourt. Takes a deep three off the dribble. Knocks it down.
Now the champs head to Salt Lake City, ready to take down the Utah Jazz.
Curry now for about 30. He goes in three.
Coverage starts today at 4:30. Tip off at 6, only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to The Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our holiday-bound audience, because we love you. Because today's one of the biggest shows of the week. Between the guests, the content, everything in between, we're loaded. So here's how this is going to shake down. At 8 o'clock today, two things are going to happen. Number one, we are going to give you an opportunity to win autographed Jerry Rice memorabilia. We're giving it away every day this week at 8 o'clock simply because we love you. At that same time, you're going to hear from 49ers Pro Bowl fullback Kyle Juszczyk. Kyle Juszczyk will join the show at 8 o'clock this morning. Brian Urlacher, the NFL Hall of Famer, is coming up at 8:30, a little over an hour from now, so mark that one down. He will be followed up by Steve Mariucci at 8:45. Like I said, we're stacked. If you thought you were having a bad morning, if you thought maybe DeForest Buckner was having a rough day, having been snubbed for the Pro Bowl, imagine being Richard Sherman. Now, you want to talk about the emotional highs and lows of life? Sherman Sunday and the win over the Seahawks, probably one of the most gratifying moments of his professional career. He won a Super Bowl, so I'm not going to say the most gratifying,
right,
but that had to feel pretty damn good. Got a game ball, celebrating in the locker room, got some revenge against his old team, snaps a 10-game losing streak to the Seahawks. That's a big moment. Then came yesterday afternoon / last evening. Richard Sherman did not make the NFC Pro Bowl team. Instead, you had cornerbacks by the name of Darius Slay from Detroit, Kyle Fuller from Chicago, Patrick Peterson from Arizona, and Byron Jones from Dallas get named to the Pro Bowl. This cost Richard Sherman an unbelievable amount of money. Per Tom Pelissero, Richard Sherman's deal that he signed as his own agent last year included a $5 million signing bonus plus a $2 million base salary. You don't have to worry about all this, but he had a $3 million Pro Bowl incentive in 2018. $3 million Pro Bowl incentive he missed on. That's not the bad part.
What?
As everyone's staring at me right now, the $3 million he missed on the incentive is not the bad part. If Sherman made the Pro Bowl this year, another $16 million in base salary for the 2019 and 2020 seasons would have become guaranteed. Guaranteed. If Sherman makes the Pro Bowl, he gets a $3 million bonus, and then $16 million in salary over the next 2 years would have become fully guaranteed.
Oh, my God. So a $19 million snub, essentially. And yeah, snub, he probably wasn't snubbed, but he was left off.
There's an interesting case. It's going to be difficult to really, really dig in and say that Sherman should have gotten in over these other guys. I was looking at the numbers. It's tough. It's tough because he has zero interceptions. See, here's the kicker to this whole thing.
Shouldn't have made it.
Of the interceptions, he and Byron Jones are the only two of that group. I'm going to give you the four guys who made it and Sherman. Kyle Fuller gave up four TDs so far this year. Chicago Bears corner. He's gotten beaten at times. But he's also got seven interceptions. He's played 14 games, and he's on the best defense in football. Darius Slay from Detroit has been burned for six touchdowns, but he's got three picks. He's played 13 games, opponent's quarterback rating 84.8. Patrick Peterson's given up three TDs, but has two INTs. Byron Jones has only given up a single touchdown all year, no INTs. Sherman's only given up a single touchdown this year, no INTs. The thing that hurts Sherman is opposing quarterbacks have a rating of 102.5 when throwing at him. None of the other guys are anywhere near that. In addition, Sherman's missed two games this season. So you can try to finagle a case. He has meant a lot to the Niners. He's had a great season, but he's probably not going to get in over these guys. He's got to be praying. I mean, if you're him, are you calling maybe Patrick Peterson and saying you want $3 million to just kind of not go to the Pro Bowl? So maybe I can be the alternate that slides in?
Would alternate change that?
I don't think so, because he's not listed as an alternate.
Yeah.
So he's going to need to bribe quite a few guys to walk away from this.
Yeah, I don't think he will. I think that it's a situation where I remember being in San Diego and had 2 years left on a deal and went up and talked to AJ and looking at the performance that I was having, and they ripped up the contract. Maybe the highest paid fullback in the league at the time. You look at it, had some years left on him. Usually front office does, especially when a certain situation, certain guys, they'll do what's right. And I think if Sherman goes out there right now, what that did, I'm not saying he's going to make up to $16 million by no stretch of imagination, Joe, but I am saying John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, they understand what this guy means to the team. And if he plays well and they're, look, we're going to rip it up, Richard. We'll do something else for it. We can make some of this money up. I can see that happening. But I just think now he insured himself that now, you know, $16 million guaranteed. Maybe they still would have maybe moved on. Who knows? But now, hey, he's going to be on this team.
That's the thing, too. These numbers back then, if he didn't have a good season, they cut him, they move on. He misses out on all that. Now, right. If he hit the Pro Bowl, that becomes guaranteed. But the reality is, if the Niners bring him back next year, which it looks like they're going to do, he's still in line for the base salary for next season at least. So he's not missing out on a full $19 million.
Right.
But you do
see a lot of money, though.
Peace of mind.
He's missing out on the big piece of pizza, though, which is a $3 million bonus. And that's the $3 million that you can't recoup even by playing the next 2 years and being under contract, which I think we all agree he will be, even if he moves to safety. Maybe at that point you rip up his deal and give him a, quote, safety contract. But to miss out on that $3 million, especially when you play as well as he had, that's got to sting a little bit.
Sherman's been making
especially when you factor in California taxes. That's at least $200K you're coming away with.
Exactly.
$200K. That's a nice little payday. Yeah.
And this guy's made millions. I mean, he's we all talk about how smart the guy is. Stanford education, smart guy. The guy's been around. He's done well. He's done financially as well.
All right. I want to talk about DeForest Buckner.
Yes.
What happened there, but I want to do that in a few moments. First, though, I want to revisit the trade from 2017. Bears, Niners this weekend, Sunday at Levi's. There are a lot of stories within the story that are going to take place. One could argue that this is the most intriguing game of the season for a variety of reasons. Number one, Bears defensive lineman Akeem Hicks getting into the Pro Bowl over DeForest Buckner. Well, guess what? They're going to go against each other this weekend. Not heads up, but both are going to want to prove they were worthy of the Pro Bowl nod. Number two, Kyle Shanahan versus Vic Fangio. Amazing numbers between the two in the three previous installments in which they've called games against one another. We'll get into that in a bit as well. But then there's the matchup between Mitchell Trubisky and Solomon Thomas. Go all the way back to 2017. The Bears had the number three pick in the draft. The Niners had the number two pick. And there was this bizarre scenario where Chicago traded up just one spot in order to draft Mitchell Trubisky. Now, people thought it was crazy. The Niners weren't going to take Mitchell Trubisky. What are you doing? Look, they'd moved up to two because they didn't want someone else to trade with the Niners. That's the one thing so many people don't understand. It's not that they were worried the Niners were going to take him. If the Niners were going to take him, why would they have traded with the Bears to allow them to come up and take their own guy? The reality was the Bears were under the impression that someone else might trade with the Niners. Shout out John Lynch and the organization for at least making that smokescreen appear plausible. So the Bears traded up. They got Mitchell Trubisky. They just won the NFC North. All right. On the flip side, here's what the Niners came away with. Pick number three, which is Solomon Thomas. Pick number 67 in the third round, which was Akello Witherspoon, was getting better as the season went on this year, but is done for the year after suffering an injury against Seattle. They also got pick number 111 in the fourth round. They used that to trade with the Seattle Seahawks so they could come up from pick 34 to pick 31 to draft Reuben Foster. That was the additional pick. They called Seattle. They said, we want to come up three picks to draft Reuben Foster. We'll give you our fourth round pick we picked up from the Bears. So that pick is gone. Reuben Foster's gone. Witherspoon's done for the year. They also got the Bears' third round pick from this year, which turned out to be linebacker Fred Warner, who, oh, by the way, now has 105 tackles on the season. He has played quite well. Looking back, what do you think of that deal? We talked to Tom Waddle about how the Bears fared on it. We'll ask Brian Urlacher about that at 8:30. But for the Niners, if you go back in time, you still making that move?
Yeah, I'm still making that move. Even though it cost you a better defensive player in that first draft, you think that Solomon Thomas can still be a serviceable guy, even though he was overdrafted at the third pick. The fact that you get Fred Warner as the final piece to that trade, I think to me, is what makes the trade swing toward the 49ers.
Do you think the 49ers won that trade? As of right now, would you say they won the trade?
I would say that, yeah, because Mitchell Trubisky was also overdrafted. He does not look like the number two overall guy. He doesn't look to be as good as other quarterbacks in that draft. Certainly Pat Mahomes, who was taken later. So
Deshaun Watson
in that draft, who's had a better career than Mitchell Trubisky. So I think even with the Reuben Foster debacle, if Reuben Foster would have become the player that he flashed as last year and stayed out of trouble, the Niners would have dominated that trade, but he didn't. But the Fred Warner factor, to me, makes it seem like the Niners won the trade.
Yeah, it's hard to say right now, but you just have to say Chicago won it because they're winning. You know what I mean? And people like the winner. So when you look at it in that regard, yeah, I'm with Dan Dibley on far as the quarterback. I think this guy is just a guy. Don't know if he's going to be a superstar.
Would you project that he turns out to be maybe a 10-year franchise guy, assuming he stays healthy? Would you project that?
Yeah, I'd project that. He and the kid can run. I mean, I think that he's better running than Josh Allen. And, you know, and Josh Allen, you watch the way this guy, he's leading the league in rushing. He's a good runner. But if you watch Mitchell Trubisky, I think he's strong, faster, maybe a little stronger, but Josh probably throws the ball.
He's very athletic.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how they develop him. So but right now, you got to say Chicago won that because of the fact and we know their defense, but right now they won their conference. You got to give Chicago the edge.
Looking back, Chicago winning it, San Francisco winning it, whatever, would you do it again? I know I just asked you that, but if you had the option, now think about this. Here are the options you have on the table. Instead of trading with the Bears, you could have just stuck it too. You could have taken Trubisky. Then you wouldn't have had to spend the money on Jimmy Garoppolo. You also could have taken Pat Mahomes out of Texas Tech. You wouldn't have had to spend the money on Garoppolo. Could have taken Deshaun Watson out of Clemson. Wouldn't have had to spend the money on Garoppolo. In addition, the picks that went later in that draft, a few picks later, Leonard Fournette to Jacksonville. Jamal Adams, the big-time safety out of LSU who went to the Jets. Mike Williams, the wide receiver to the Chargers out of Clemson, who that first year only played 7 games. Now, he looks like a big-time threat. And, oh, by the way, he was in your backyard. You may have drafted the wrong Stanford guy. Christian McCaffrey was like the 9th pick to Carolina right before the end of the top 10. So looking back on this, you flipped with Chicago. You picked up all those picks that resulted in Thomas, in ammunition for Reuben Foster, in Akella Witherspoon, and Fred Warner. But if you had just stayed at 2, would you rather go back and take Patrick Mahomes? Like, of all those options that are on the table,
of course.
Revisionist history, what are you doing?
I still like the trade because as a 49er organization, we talked about it then and we're still saying it now, you need bodies. You don't just need that one transcendent body. And I think Shanahan had already identified Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterbacks he wanted anyway. So I don't know if he even thought that Pat Mahomes would have been a guy who would come in here and flourish. And I think partly why Pat Mahomes is doing so well is the offense he has in Kansas City and the weapons he has. If he comes here with Marquise Goodwin and Pierre Garçon, I'm sorry, Pat Mahomes is not the Pat Mahomes that we're all talking about for MVP candidate.
Great point.
So I think when you look at what they needed, which was multiple bodies, they got multiple picks to just move a singular spot. The fact that they missed on Solomon Thomas hurts, but I would still do that trade, absolutely.
The value of the trade was outstanding. But the fallout, the revisionist history of it, do you like the idea? Would you go back if you knew everything you know now, and would you take Pat Mahomes?
Of course, I wouldn't have made that trade. No one would. Neither team would have made that trade. I think both of them didn't. Both teams didn't pick maybe right for that trade. I mean, you look at, if you're talking about Deshaun Watson, you and I, we sat here and said, my God, someone take this kid. He's going to be a talent in this league.
Loved him. We were talking about him.
He beat Alabama. He went head-to-head with Alabama 2 years in a row. Could have beat him the first year.
400 yards, I believe.
It wasn't his fault the first year they didn't win.
He played his tail off both times.
Both times. And so that should have been like, this guy can play. The moment's not getting too big. You should have looked at that guy and like, wow, I know Alabama, what Nick Saban does. That should have already been an eye-opener for everyone. So, yeah, you look at it, I think both these teams, Chicago and the Niners, wouldn't have traded that spot.
If they could both go back in time, they would just completely redo everything they were doing there?
Because the guys that you talked about, and Patty Mahomes, I'm going to tell you right now, in this offense, he would have had success because Kyle Shanahan is a mastermind. I'm not saying they would have been in the playoffs. No, I'm not saying that. But his numbers would have, he still would have had numbers.
He'd be a franchise guy?
Yeah, because his ability to get out of trouble. Look at the throws that he makes sidearm. He still can do things that guys can't do. How many less sacks would he have had? Because this offensive line is comparable to Kansas City's offensive line. This offense tight end is comparable to Kansas City's tight end, Kittle. When you look at Kittle and look at
The big difference, though, for me is the horizontal spacing that he gets in Kansas City with all the jet sweep motion and all the speed they have. You wouldn't have that here in San Francisco. So I think defenses are able to play the Niners a lot differently than you have to play Kansas City.
I agree to disagree because I think if you can get
Tibbs wasn't offering that option.
Well, let's get.
No, it's fine. I mean, yeah, Raheem Mostert and Kareem Hunt, they're comparable.
Do you want to line up Goodwin and line up whoever, the fastest guy on Kansas City?
Well, Tyreek Hill is going to be the number one pick of all those skill players you put out there. All Niner and Chief skill players you put out there, Hill's going to be the first guy.
But I'm just talking about speed.
Okay, sure.
And can he beat Goodwin in a foot race?
I would say
Goodwin was an Olympian, wasn't he?
Yes!
Goodwin's unable to stay on the field, Coach. You could beat Goodwin in a race most of the season.
But we'll get to that. In terms of them running one-on-one, who would you bet? Who would you bet in a race?
I'm taking Goodwin.
If you're betting a foot rub, for example, if you had a chance to double down here.
Double down.
It turns into a 30-minute foot rub, or you get out of it completely. It's a, what's the, what is it, 40 yards? Is it 40 meters, 100 meters?
Shoot, let's just go in the middle. Let's say 50. Instead of, because it's a 100-yard football
50
field.
Yard, 50-yard dash, we'll call it. The very rare 50-yard dash. Who's winning that, Tyreek Hill or Marquise Goodwin?
That's actually a standard in grammar school, by the way, the physical fitness testing. You used to run the 50, but I digest. I think Tyreek Hill wins that, quite frankly.
So you would do that if it was a foot rub bet?
I wouldn't.
Which is now the new prison bet?
I see. I'm never making that wager again. It's haunted me. It's dogged me in these days since Saturday in the Browns' victory.
But you take Hill.
Yeah, I would take Hill.
You take Goodwin?
Heck yeah.
I mean, Goodwin can't stay healthy, and this leads into your part, which is the important part of football.
I agree
with
you there.
But in terms of speed, I mean, we can't forget about Goodwin was a track guy.
That's what I'm saying.
What was his event? Was he hurdles?
Long jump.
So he, the dude knows.
Long jump.
Triple jump, long jump, all that stuff. He knows how to run. My point was, I wasn't saying that his guys weren't better. I'm just saying, if you're talking about speed, because he talked about the different, and I'm saying, here's the speed. You think about Kittle, Race, and Kelsey. You look at what they've both been able to do. You think about the running back position. You look at these things, and now you put Mahomes in this offense. His offensive line is just as good. Now his ability to scramble and move around in the pocket. I'm not saying that it would have been Kansas City-esque. I'm just saying Kyle Shanahan, everyone says in Kyle Shanahan, we trust. If you have a quarterback that can do all those different things and extend plays with his legs like Mahomes can do, I just think this offense would have been far more further along than it is now.
Yeah, agree to disagree is what I'm going to go with here as my counterpoint.
Today.
Yeah, absolutely. Marquise Goodwin has not shown an ability in his entire career to consistently be on the field. And as we've said many times on this show, availability is everything. And if you're not available, then it doesn't matter if you can run a 4-1 40 like Jerry Rice and Marquise Goodwin. It doesn't matter. And Pierre Garçon unable to stay healthy. So you can have Pat Mahomes with his gigantic arm, the ability to throw it 70 yards in the air down the field. But if you don't have a receiver to throw to, it doesn't matter.
888-957-9570. Let's play a little bit of revisionist history here. 888-957-9570. If you could go back to the 2017 NFL draft where the Niners traded the 2 pick to the Bears, who took Mitchell Trubisky, and in exchange, the Niners moved back to 3 where they took Solomon Thomas. Out of that deal, they also got Akello Witherspoon, Fred Warner, and the ammunition to move up and take Reuben Foster. Would you still do the deal? Would you say no to the Bears? Would you draft Trubisky? Would you draft Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Leonard Fournette, Jamal Adams, Mike Williams? All the options are on the table. If you could go back and redo 2017, what would you want to do? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. The name that jumped out to me was Mike Williams. When I was looking at this last night, I thought, damn, that's exactly the number one that I think Kyle's talking about when they need to bulk up this offense to keep defenders from creeping up into the running lanes. I mean, small sample size because it was only 7 games last year, but he is straight up legit this season. Every time they get to the red zone, Phillip's throwing at him. And his body control in the end zone is remarkable. The way he can outjump the defender, high point the ball, get both feet in, and then casually cruise out of bounds. The guy has unbelievable balance and agility. I mean, if you watch him in some of these games in the end zone, I don't know how you defend him, especially in this day and age when you can't put a hand on the guy. Even if you can maul him a little bit, he's too physical. He'd be a great rebounder.
6'4", he got great hands, and like you say, you can throw the fade and he'll high point it. You can go back shoulder and he's going to be able to hold you off because he's so physical at the front pylon. And he would be the perfect guy for this Shanahan offense. But do you really want to take a wide receiver at 2? If you stay at 2, you really, I mean, that's so risky to take a receiver at number 2.
You'd end up probably going with Mahomes. To be honest, if I go back and look at the whole thing, I think I like Garoppolo, and I think Garoppolo in this system is going to work. But Garoppolo also costs a lot of money. And if that 2 pick means I can't have Fred Warner, I can't have Akello Witherspoon, and I didn't have the ammo to go up and get Reuben Foster, but I get Pat Mahomes, I feel pretty good because you got, 5 years of Mahomes being really cost-controlled if you pick up that option, which frees you up to spend money everywhere. Remember, DeForest Buckner is about to cost a bit of coin. That's coming up. Whether he made the Pro Bowl or not, which he didn't, and we're going to get into that in a few minutes, the reality of the situation is he's going to cost a lot of money. You don't think his guy, his agent, is going to point to Aaron Donald's deal and say, yeah, we want that. Well, you don't have as many sacks. All right, well, we had, 80% of those sacks? So give us 80% of the money, but adjust for the fact that it's 2 years down the road, which is pretty much that Aaron Donald deal.
And adjust for the fact that you need him more than the Rams need Aaron Donald, perhaps, because the Rams have more defensive pieces up front than the 49ers do without DeForest Buckner.
Jeff in Marin. Jeff, thanks for the phone call. What's going on?
Thanks for taking the call. I am your 1 billionth listener, by the way.
Beautiful. We appreciate that.
I appreciate you guys. So back, you know, before that draft, I called your station a couple of times. I'd even called up the Niners and texted them and called that other station I don't listen to anymore, raving about Patrick Mahomes. I said that if you looked at his film, he looked like a bigger, stronger version of Russell Wilson. We should have traded back in the first round. We would have picked up extra picks. We could have taken him, and we would be a much more dynamic offense. Even with the players that we got, I agree with Lowe completely on that. We have enough talent, and Shanahan has enough smarts to be able to design an offense to exploit all the abilities that Mahomes has. I heard guys on your station saying, well, no quarterbacks have ever come out of that conference. It's like, you've got to watch the film on this kid. I don't think you draft offensive linemen, defensive linemen out of Stanford. You get quarterbacks, you get wide receivers, you get DBs. Again, I think that was a huge mistake. And as much as I love Shanahan, I think he is brilliant. You got to question his judgment maybe a little bit about quarterbacks. He liked Cousins a lot. I never thought Cousins was that great. He picked C.J. Beathard in the third round, and, you know, I think he's a tough kid. But I'm not certain what he really saw in him other than the guy can take a pounding and keep getting up. He didn't progress. He doesn't read and react quickly enough. And you've got Nick Mullins sitting undrafted. And, again, look, this is not science. I get it. But Mullins is quicker. He has a quicker release. He understands the offense better. So that's pretty much all I have to say. Love you guys. Love, nothing but love for Lowe.
All right, that's enough.
The last part must have cut out.
No, he's a smart guy because, you know, I get the 408 talking about Lowe is so dumb, Tyreek would have smoked him. And here's the thing. Go at 408. Go look at the combines. Goodwin ran a 4.27. Hill ran a 4.24. You know how tight that is.
Ooh, that's a nice little race.
That's not even. You can't. You need to go to the microfilm. Look how close it is. I mean, come on, son. So when you're talking about smoked, do you know what smoked is? 4.27 and a 4.24, dude. It's bang bang. You don't even. You can't even hardly tell the difference.
Bang bang.
Exactly. So when you're talking about smoked. Yeah, you're smoking. That's the only thing that's smoking. So, yeah, I look at both these teams, though, and you're talking about Patrick Mahomes. Here's a guy, quarterback. You get a quarterback like you're talking about Joe in that rookie deal. Yes, right now, hindsight is 20/20. If you knew what you knew now, without a doubt, Mahomes would have been there. And you look at if they could have traded back. You get a Christian McCaffrey. You look what he is. He is that offense with Carolina. He's a guy.
He's nasty. He doesn't get nearly enough credit because Carolina has completely fallen off.
He does not get the credit that he deserves. And look at the way that he plays. And you put him in any offense because he's such a nightmare to guard and out of the backfield. You look at what he's able to do. He's like a Saquon Barkley. Yes, Saquon's got more, a little bit more power, whatever. But if you look at out of the backfield, Christian McCaffrey and him, they're the two best young backs in the league.
And he anticipates tackles so well that he doesn't go backwards a lot. He doesn't really move the pile forward, but before he gets hit, he's going forward.
Absolutely.
And he's going forward low. So even when he gets hit, most of the time he gets that extra yard because he falls forward, and it's because he anticipates so well.
One thing that Jeff had said about Shanahan's quarterback evaluations, I'll side with Shanahan there. I see the point that, you know, Shanahan liked Cousins and Cousins hasn't turned out to be great. He was around Cousins every single day working with him. If he liked Kirk Cousins, I'd be behind that. He got the best year of Matt Schaub's career. He got the best year of Robert Griffin's career. He got the best year of Matt Ryan's career, right? Like, he
look what's happening
straight
in Atlanta. Sarkisian's going to lose his job.
Exactly.
Just two seasons later.
Exactly. The one thing, like, there's stuff that, you know, you can question Kyle, some of the decisions he's made late in games, which is fine. Work that game management stuff out now because you're not a contender. But by and large, the quarterback position. Everyone he's coached at quarterback has looked good. He's got Nick Mullins winning games. Nick Mullins is a practice squad guy. Now, think about that for a second. The Jaguars spent most of the year with a first-round pick as their quarterback. They couldn't get Jack out of him.
Mm.
They couldn't get Jack or Jacksonville out of him.
Yeah.
There are so many teams that can't get squad-oosh. Try betting on some of these teams
and
just watching how they never get a first down. Forget about scoring 50 in a game against the Chiefs like the Rams did. Like, some of these teams can't even move the damn ball.
Right. Shannon's finest hour, without a doubt, his finest hour had to be Robert Griffin. I mean, people were talking about this guy for MVP. Shanahan took.
You think Griffin was the finest of all his jobs?
Of all his reclamation projects.
I mean, Matt Schaub.
Maybe Schaub, yeah.
Who did Schaub have to throw to?
Old Andre.
Who else? Thank you. Think about though, if you look at what Griffin did, this guy, we haven't had a peek at him. I just think that Washington Redskins team, what he was able to do with Robert Griffin.
I mean, Griffin won the Heisman at Baylor, tore apart college football, went pro, and it just faded so fast. I think they went to the playoffs, the first year?
Oh, it was a
He went to the playoffs as they lost to Seattle?
It was the biggest
fall. That's the old knee, Coach. The old knee. He tore up his knee a second time because he ripped it up at Baylor, and he stopped running track because he was a hurdler at Baylor. And then he went football only, tore up his knee again. That was it. That was a wrap. If you're not able to rely on your athletic ability as RG3, you're done.
You're done. But Cal Shanahan had that dude in Washington. Everyone was loving the Skins. I mean, he had that offense so simple for Griffin. Griffin was just that read offense.
Oh, Bob.
It was amazing. You guys knew that. That offense was just scary. Everyone said, oh.
Okay. It was a good offense. They were the same offense that had a 14-0 lead at home in the wild card round and blew it and ended up losing to Seattle. I know that very well because I bet Seattle in that game. I was sitting there going, how am I going to lose this game?
Because Griff's knee went out. You would have lost that game. And that's what Daniel was just
alluding
to.
Seattle had come back and taken the lead by the time he got hurt.
You heard what Dan said. He's right. If that knee didn't go out, you lose that bet, Joe. Let's just be real.
Well, Dibley said the knee went out. He didn't pinpoint the exact moment it happened.
It went out in that game,
Joe. Late in the game after they had already blown the lead.
No.
All right, we're going to look this up. Possible funeral coming.
Thank you. They were going in to score when Robert.
Yeah, no, I remember. I remember they were down there, but they didn't score.
Why?
That's what's important
his
for
knee
you to
fell
remember,
off, son.
Son,
his knee during here was like it was watching. It was like, golly.
Someone needs to invent a much faster version of a search engine where we can just say this stuff and the information just pops up.
It should be automatically dialed into the voice activated computer to where if we're talking about something, your computer's already searching it mid conversation.
All right, what was the year? It was 2012, I believe. I got the 2012. Here it is. Seahawk game. Boom.
Told you. They were winning. And they were going to take over. It was over.
Hold on, Chief. Hold on,
the
Coach.
The Seahawks took the lead 21-14. They converted the two-pointer. Marshawn Lynch from 27 yards out.
Remember?
So he's just not going to come back and play for the Raiders this year, I guess?
He's beat up.
About that retirement, boss.
So 7:08 remaining is when that happened. 7:08 left. Lynch goes in from 27 yards out. Russ connects with Zach Miller to make it 21-14. And then the Seahawks added a field goal to win the game 24-14. That field goal came about a minute 30 later. Now, what I don't have, because I have to go through the play-by-play, is to find out when they were down on the goal line and Griffin got hurt. Do not have in front of me at the moment.
I don't even think you worry about it. Just know that when Griffin got hurt.
I'll worry about it because there's a funeral coming.
No, it's coming.
You've already got one today.
Woo! This go push.
You're starting to sweat a little bit back there.
This push button king is amazing.
Let's transition into the Pro Bowl conversation
because we
haven't touched on that in a little while. Congratulations in order. Number one, 49ers fullback Kyle Juszczyk. If we have a robust round of applause. Thank you, Dave.
The 209, the Redskins were winning 14-0 when then he got hurt.
Was he still in the game?
Duh.
Okay, so people get hurt and then they continue to play.
That's why.
He wrecked the knee. The official wrecking of the knee was at the end of the game.
I know.
Because they left him in too long, and that was the play. When he got sacked late, that was the play that wrecked his knee and ended the career.
The text line said
the text line says it.
He was winning when he
got hurt. Autobody text line 95795.
He actually got hurt a month earlier, December 9th, in a game. So we can click this as far back as you need to make yourself right.
You know what? I'm done with this conversation.
He probably got hurt in peewee ball as well.
Yeah, and I think that ultimately led to it. So really, when you scale it all the way back.
Warriors Wednesdays brought to you by Freedman's Appliance, trust name in the Bay Area since 1922. Just need to get that in there as well. But let's pivot. We will get the information. There will be a funeral, whether it's yours or mine. And then there will likely be a casket slapping. So congratulations to Kyle Juszczyk, named to the Pro Bowl. He's the NFC starter at fullback. This is his third Pro Bowl appearance. You're going to hear from him in 13 minutes right here on 95.7 The Game. 13 minutes from now, 8 o'clock, Kyle Juszczyk joins the program. We're also giving away autographed Jerry Rice memorabilia at that time. And we'll talk to Brian Urlacher, Hall of Fame linebacker, at 8:30. George Kittle, congratulations in order as well. 49er tight end makes his first Pro Bowl. He's a reserve. He'll be backing up Zach Ertz of the Philadelphia Eagles. Kittle gets it done in just his second year in the NFL. Here's where it starts to get interesting, though. The three alternates the Niners have for the Pro Bowl. Number one, Robbie Gould, who's been to one Pro Bowl in his career. Number two, Mark Nzacha. Am I saying that right? Mark Nzacha.
Yeah.
All right. Special teamer. He is the alternate to the kid from the Rams, Corey Littleton. And then number three, DeForest Buckner. DeForest Buckner is the alternate. Three interior defensive linemen from the NFC. Number one, Aaron Donald. Number two, Fletcher Cox. Number three, Akeem Hicks. Akeem Hicks from the Chicago Bears. Those are your three Pro Bowlers at defensive line. If one of them doesn't go, Buckner's in. But a lot of people feel that this might be one of the biggest snubs out there. Lo Neal, I'll tee it up to you first.
Yeah, Akeem, when you look at what he's done for Chicago, phenomenal year. He's playing with other Pro Bowl guys, Khalil Mack, and you see the way that they all make each other go. Their secondary, they got Pro Bowlers there. Why? Because of what the front four is able to do. When you think about what's going on here in San Francisco, excuse me, we talk about
The button's literally called the cough button.
We're talking about DeForest Buckner, and we talk about what he's been able to do on this for this San Francisco 49ers team. We talk about Armstead. Are they going to let him go after the year? Are they going to tag him? What are they going to do because it's a fifth year? Are they going to pick up that option? We talk about Solomon Thomas. That's all we've been talking about. Was that draft pick needed? Should they have waited? Is he going to have a long career? Was he a fourth round pick worthy of? Don't get defensive. We hear people say, don't get offensive linemen and defensive linemen from Stanford. So Solomon Thomas, everyone's saying, what happened? Was this the right pick? So when you're looking at that defensive line, we have guys that came out of nowhere, Blair, all these different guys that are playing defense for the San Francisco 49ers. When you're talking about the other guys that got drafted that are going to the Pro Bowl, of course, Aaron Donald, hell of a talent, but look who he's playing with. Look at these two other guys who they're playing with. And you can compare Buckner's numbers to everyone. I think Aaron Donald should be the MVP, but he has other guys over there. But he does get double-teamed a lot. DeForest Buckner got snubbed. DeForest Buckner, without a doubt, should have been on the Pro Bowl. It should have been Aaron Donald. He should have been next. For everyone to sit here and say that he didn't, they should be funeralized. Everyone wants to sit there and tell me that I got funeralized, and your text messages, Joe, and your Twitter and your Instagram. Oh, funeral tomorrow. For you guys out there to listen, you billions of listeners that sit there, you guys should have got in line and said, do not funeralize Lowe's take because everyone else should be funeralized because they got this wrong. This is an egregious act against DeForest Buckner. He has the numbers. He's done the stats. Everything to prove that he had a Pro Bowl year. It's unmutable. It's unchangeable. And sit there to say, oh, he didn't because people don't watch. I don't care about that. I don't care about it. The guy got a bad deal.
Well, the coaches count for a third. The players count for a third. And the fans count for a third. So as
got it wrong.
Well, and as you look around, Lo, you realize that not every coach is going to see every snap of every player. And certainly not every player is going to see every snap of every other player. You're only going to be able to talk about really the guys you play against, maybe the guys you watch on film. And the fans are just going to go fanboy, fangirl out and vote for all their favorites regardless of the performance. So as you look at snub this or doesn't belong that, the whole process is so broken and damaged to where it's almost a random act.
Cam Inman, our friend, on Twitter last night had a solid breakdown of the four defensive linemen and their numbers. Some of the key numbers that people look at. So there's Aaron Donald from the Rams, Fletcher Cox from the Eagles, and Akeem Hicks from the Bears. They all got in. Buckner didn't. First category, sacks. Donald finished first of that group with 16.5. Buckner finished second with 11. Cox at 7.5 and Hicks at 6.0. So Buckner, by far and away, blasting two of those guys. Tackles for loss. Donald again leading the group with 20. Buckner again in second with 16. Hicks with 11. Cox with 9. Total tackles. Buckner leads the entire group with 60. Donald with 48. Cox and Hicks with 41 apiece. So people look at those numbers and they say, my God, DeForest Buckner has been absolutely snubbed. Absolutely snubbed. And there's a great case, as you've just heard, that he has been snubbed. But the reality of the situation is that two key stats are being left out of this argument. Stat number one, wins. Donald's won 11 games and is going to the playoffs. Akeem Hicks has won 10 games. The Bears just won the NFC North. Fletcher Cox has won 7 games. He's a member of the defending champion Eagles. DeForest Buckner has won 4 games. That's a big drop. Number two, primetime games. Games the entire country, including the voters, are watching. Aaron Donald and the Rams, 5. Fletcher Cox and the Eagles, 5. Akeem Hicks and the Bears, 5. DeForest Buckner and the Niners, 3. And if you remember, the 49ers were flexed out of how many games? They were
twice.
Flexed out of 2. The Bears were flexed into multiple games. The Rams were flexed in. I'm not sure about the Eagles. I think because they were the defending champs, they were already set. But those games, you don't think people were watching Aaron Donald and the Rams play the Kansas City Chiefs in that 100-point game? Oh, yeah. Everyone was watching. The problem is that even when the Niners were playing in primetime, the Packers, that was a game people were interested in. The Raiders, as a terrible game. And then the Monday Nighter against the Giants, terrible game as well. A lot of this has to do with visibility. It's why Heisman Trophy winners never come from small schools, because nobody is watching small schools.
Right.
Visibility is very important. Winning football is very important. Voters factor that stuff in. MVPs don't come from teams that miss the playoffs. Case in point, you know who led the way in Pro Bowlers this year? The Chargers. Best record in the NFL. 7 Pro Bowlers. You know who finished second with 6? Pittsburgh and Kansas City. 2 teams that are headed to the postseason. You know who finished 3rd with 5? The Bears, who are going to the playoffs. The Cowboys, who lead the NFC East. And the Saints, who are going to go to the playoffs and are the number 1 seed in the NFC. That stuff matters to voters. We did an experiment this morning. We're going to do it again, but with different names. Everyone in this room, Low Anna Dibbs, and then the guys in the back, Nice Guy and Cody.
I feel involved.
Close your eyes. I'm going to give you a name. If you know the name, raise your hand. That's it. There's no right or wrong here. We're just trying to prove a point.
And if you're driving out there, keep both hands on the wheel,
yeah,
please.
If you're driving, just listen. Just listen and focus. Very good call, Dibbs. The name, raise your hand if you know it, Josh Klinghoffer.
Klinghoffer?
For those who are listening, 0 hands are in the air. Now I'm going to give you another name. Raise your hand if you know it. Anthony Kiedis. Anna, Dibbs, Nice Guy all up. I can't see Cody. He's probably working on something else. Anthony Kiedis, Josh Klinghoffer, both members of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. No one in here knew Klinghoffer. Everyone knew Kiedis. Why? Kiedis is the front man. Kiedis is the singer. Kiedis is the one that's at the front of all the photos. That's what gets you to the Pro Bowl. The stats are great. The big plays are huge. But Aaron Rodgers is going to the Pro Bowl this year. Aaron Rodgers is not a Pro Bowler. He did not have a good season. Tom Brady's going to the Pro Bowl. You can make an argument there, but we'll let that one lie. The reality of the situation here is that primetime games matter, because you're not just watching Aaron Donald. You're hearing Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth and the 3 guys on ESPN's Monday Night team consistently talk about him. You're hearing the same thing with Fletcher Cox and the same thing with Akeem Hicks. People have been talking about the Bears defense all year. And then there's DeForest Buckner. And the problem for Buckner is that he plays on a team that doesn't win and they're not in marquee spots. I mean, the Niners were one of only 2 afternoon games this past weekend. It was a great game. But you know damn well that outside of the respective markets, everyone was watching Pittsburgh, New England.
Right.
They weren't watching the Niners.
Right.
They're not interested in Niners, Arizona. They're not interested in some of these Niner matchups. They're just bad matchups. And because of that, people don't know the name DeForest Buckner as well as they know Donald, Cox, and Hicks. People don't see Donald to the or the hit. Buckner to the extent they see the other 3.
This reminds me of the Gold Glove in baseball, where you win it some years where you don't have the best defensive year because of reputation, or a great defensive player who doesn't win. It takes time for your reputation to catch up with the accolades you probably should be receiving.
Yeah, you're right. But I look at it, and you look at what he's been able to do, and especially last week. You're playing against Seattle, and I think that was a cherry on top. There's not a lot of guys who can sack Russell Wilson, not once, but twice. Russell Wilson is one of the most elusive, one of the hardest quarterbacks to sack. And you get a guy to sack him twice, that speaks volumes.
Problem is, I think a lot of the votes were already in.
Yeah.
I don't think that game could have helped him all that much. Had the vote taken place 2 weeks from now or at the end of the season, sure. But
yeah,
that's one of the things that stung him. Big game in a spot where people were probably watching more than normal.
Yeah.
And 2 sacks against Russell Wilson, a very elusive quarterback who's tough to bring down.
Yeah.
But back to the point, I mean, the All-Star game for baseball this past year. You know the 3 teams that led with the most vote-getters, the 3 teams that had 5 players each? The Red Sox, who won the World Series,
right,
the Astros, who were the defending champs, and the Cleveland Indians, who had been to the playoffs 3 years in a row and also were in the World Series a couple years back. How about the Warriors in the All-Star game every year?
Right.
And 4 guys go to the All-Star game for the Warriors every year. That's unheard of.
And they couldn't get one through the 90s and the early aughts, even though, like, Monte Ellis was the one every year. Oh, Monte's getting snubbed. He's averaging 22 a game. People weren't watching the Warriors. The Warriors weren't winning. So if it's a borderline call, you don't get that. They go with a winning team like Philadelphia.
And then on the flip side, later in your career, if you're winning year in and year out, like Aaron Rodgers, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt. People are just going to vote you in whether you're having a good year or not. And Rodgers is not having a good year. This is a big time down year for Rodgers. He got a coach fired mid-season. The Packers, one of the most steady, consistent organizations in football, fired their head coach midway through the season.
Yeah.
And he got a Pro Bowl nod.
Yeah, it is a popularity contest, and I do understand that. It's just
visibility contest.
Yeah.
It's a visibility contest.
It really is. And at times, though, you just look at it, and I don't know if it makes it right. I just think what Buckner was able to do, especially from that three-position playing inside interior lineman, to be that dominant. I know Fletcher Cox is a great player. I just think if you look at Buckner, what he did this year, his numbers and what he's done, is just pretty amazing to be a young player to play that dominant with not a lot of supporting cast help around you, getting doubled a lot. You're still beating double teams. I thought he did a hell of a year.
I think you're right. You're absolutely right. The numbers don't lie. He has had a big season, and by a lot of key metrics, he's outperformed Akeem Hicks and Fletcher Cox. People just don't see him on TV, and they don't know his name.
You're right.
You think how many people in New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, Baltimore, Florida, how many people in those cities know Akeem Hicks, Fletcher Cox, and Aaron Donald, and how many of them know DeForest Buckner? Like, where does DeForest Buckner rank? The Niners have been so bad for so long, nobody on the East Coast is paying attention to them. Yeah. They paid attention to the Seahawks, and then they started paying attention to the Rams because now they're hot. The Niners have been an afterthought for so long. But again, conversely, if you rip off 10 straight solid years, you'll start getting Pro Bowl nods whether you deserve them or not because people just know the name.
You're right. And Buckner's going to be a guy, Joe, that's going to be in this organization for a long time. He's a good guy. Young player, already married a Fresno girl, good player, good
look at
person.
You. Great resume.
This guy is going to be a Niner for a long time.
That might have cost him the Pro Bowl, quite frankly. I mean,
Fresno connection.
Yeah, it just, I finally, the light bulb went on. It's not the brightest light bulb, but it was a light bulb nonetheless.
I think an Edison light bulb.
We may finally have closure. We'll go ahead and lock that up.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. First and foremost, welcome to your 8 o'clock hour. Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher set to join us in 30 minutes. Point number two, today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. The question on the website, which is 957thegame.com, who was the bigger Pro Bowl snub, DeForest Buckner, Richard Sherman, Joe Staley, or Robbie Gould? Now, in just a few moments, we will be giving away some autographed Jerry Rice memorabilia. But right now, we are very happy to welcome to the program 3-time Pro Bowler, 49ers fullback, ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Juszczyk returns to Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Kyle, good morning. Thank you so much for your time, as always. And congratulations on your third trip to the Pro Bowl. How are you feeling today?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I'm feeling good that the 3-time Pro Bowler has a good ring to it, but I know I'm still one away from low, so I got some work to do.
Absolutely. You know, everyone who talks about you will rave, you're a team guy, you're a hard worker, great character, locker room guy, all that good stuff. But I'd have to imagine it's just human nature. Like, as we get close to this point in the season, are you thinking about the Pro Bowl? Are you thinking about the competition? You know, going into the vote or the announcement last night, did you feel you had it, that you would get nominated for the third time?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely something on your mind. And unfortunately, when you're in the position that we are, where, you know, we're out of the playoff hunt, it's something that can creep in there a little more. You know, if we were still competing for that spot, you know, I wouldn't worry so much about this. I'd have other things on my mind. But, yeah, it's something I'm thinking about, and, you know, thinking about who I'm going to be playing with, and, you know, just thinking about the good times I had the past 2 years and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, Kyle, it's well-deserved. Who are some of the guys out there when you think, okay, wow, this team is winning? Who are some of the, because, you know, we have this discussion about the fullback position.